I used to write radio commercial scripts, and considering the fact you only had 30, sometimes even just 15 seconds to get a message across, I learned how it's possible to say a lot with very few words. I'm sure you'll agree that's a lesson many in public office and elsewhere desperately need to learn. Anyway, there's a book in the Bible that serves as a great example of this concept. That's the Book of Jude. Jude is the shortest book in the Bible, only one chapter, consisting of 25 verses. Some Bible scholars believe it was also intended to be the final book, the closing book of the New Testament, with Revelation being added as a, I guess, a last-minute decision, you'd say. For such a short book, Jude has actually created a large number of debates. There are those who question the identity of its author, whether he was in fact the brother of Jesus. They question through interpretation, for example, the age Jude would be in relation to when the epistle was written. However, the timeline facts and previous references to Jude in the Bible solidify the family connection between Jesus and Jude. Some also say that the Apostle Paul borrowed much of Jude's letter and expanded upon it in 2 Peter without the harsh tone that Jude used. What was it that had Jude using this harsh tone? Troubles within the church. More specifically, false teachers. Jude writes in verses 3 and 4, "Beloved, while I was very diligent to write to you concerning your common salvation, I found it necessary to write to you, exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all delivered to the saints. For certain men have crept in unnoticed, who long ago were marked out for this condemnation, ungodly men who turned the grace of our God into lewdness and denied the only Lord, God our Lord Jesus Christ." It's also important to note, too, how Jude doesn't say he's targeting a specific audience or a geographic region, which adds to the urgency of his message. It's one Jude wanted everyone to hear and to adhere to. Jude gives an indictment of these false teachers in verse 8. "Likewise, also these dreamers defile the flesh, reject authority, and speak evil of dignitaries." The warning is also given in verses 12 and 13 about how these false teachers try all they can to exist within the church and among believers. He writes, "These are spots in your love feasts, while they feast with you without fear, serving only themselves. They are clouds without water, carried about by the winds, late autumn trees without fruit, twice dead, pulled up by the roots, raging waves of the sea, foaming up their own shame, wandering stars for whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever." Yet Jude alerts us to be watchful for them and tells us in verse 16 how they can't avoid revealing themselves. He writes, "These are grumblers, complainers, walking according to their own lusts, and they mouth great swelling words, flattering people to gain advantage." We're reminded in verses 18 and 19 how this evil foretells the arrival of the end times, how they told you that there would be mockers in the last time who would walk according to their own ungodly lusts. "These are sensual persons who cause divisions, not having the Spirit." But thankfully, Jude does not leave us with any reason for surrender. Let's look at verses 20 and 21. "But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life." Now, while Jude wrote his letter in 65 AD, the false teachers he warned about, oh, they are certainly with us in the here and now. Need a few examples? Okay. How about when Pope Francis said there is no hell? With the numerous pastors who claim that you'll become rich if you send them your money. Pastor who declared the specific date of the rapture 3 different times. How about the pastors who recently expressed their belief that Jesus was transgender? Then, of course, there's the supposedly Christian member of the House of Representatives who said that if Jesus had access to AR-15s, he would not have been crucified. Well, that's one that possibly shows the most ignorance of Christianity ever expressed in modern times. Now, even though the warning was issued long ago, false teachers, they still rise up. So how do we, as believers of the truth of God's Word, battle this? With His Word. Engage that person in your church, in your life, who's fallen prey to that false teacher. Ask them why they believe what they do, and then counter it with the truth from God's Word and the teaching of Jesus. You and that person, believe it or not, actually have a common ground. You both are looking for truth and wisdom. They just drank from a septic tank, while your thirst has been quenched by the living word of God.